Morning, church. Wow, what a week. What a roller coaster this week's been. God, you know, I felt that God was placing on my heart the need to, you know, pray for healing and see healing. And what happens on last weekend? Man, did I get sick. Oh, no, I was ill as. I was almost sitting on the edge of my bed with tears in my face. I felt so rotten. And then my wife anointed me with oil. So my whole body was so sore, I got up and maybe like some of the seniors, I was walking down the hallway like this. Honestly, my body was so sore. My head was so full of congestion. I was coughing and sneezing and, God, filling up cloths like nobody's business. My wife came in and she grabbed a bottle of oil from my drawer and she anointed me with oil and she told the sickness to go in Jesus' name. And it wasn't like, bang, and I was healed. But where's my aches gone? I began to go like this because it wasn't sore. I got up off the chair like, oh. So my aches and pains, I'm still full of congestion. And I'm like starting to praise God for two things. Firstly, that my wife took the initiative and prayed for healing for me. You know, how amazing is that? I'm a husband. She probably just sort of expects me to get better because that's what husbands are supposed to do, I think. Carry on, struggle, get on with the job at hand. But she prayed for me and the aches and pains went. So the following day, so Royce has rung me up and I'm like not sounding too good and I wasn't feeling great and I was really worried about why am I so sick when my message is around that God and the word Tina brought this morning in the prayer time, that God hasn't changed. He's doing the same thing today as what he did way back then. He hasn't changed. So my wife grabbed the oil again, and because I was still congested and still, you know, grumpy old man, and prayed for me again. And again, it wasn't like, boom, instant healing. But a few hours later, I was like, oh, just feeling a bit freer in my nasal passage. My eyes aren't weeping. And the healing process from there began and had started. And, well, here I am today. I didn't think I was going to make it there for a minute. Here. Isn't God awesome? Isn't God awesome? Now, I'm not going to give names or details on my next little story, but because I think they would like to share that when they're here. So at Life Group, the question for the study, the very first question was, who has seen a miracle? And oh my goodness, I was heartbroken that some of our folk hadn't seen a miracle. Absolutely, it just grieved me that when we're following God and not seeing a miracle, whether how big or how small. And then an opportunity arose where those people were part of a miracle for somebody else. And it was just, we're just praising God for that. But I'm not going to share the absolute details because when they come back from their holidays, I think that'll be a great thing for them to share. It's their testimony. You know? It's theirs. They experienced it. But guess what? They also want to talk about it. And that's what we should be doing all the time, talking about the great things that God has done. Now, it's so great to see you all here this morning. Big hi and a wave to those who are online. Man, you're missing out. Yeah, I'm talking to you, the camera up there. Okay, you guys are missing out. How can you be part of the sharing and the encouraging and the building up of the saints if you're at home watching online? Man, I feel sorry for you. No, I don't really. But you're missing out. Oh my goodness, what an encouragement to hear the stories this morning. What an amazing word from Sharon this morning. Okay? It builds us up, it encourages us. So online, I hope you're feeling as encouraged and built up as I am this morning. Morena te whānau. Te tukumiru te waka, ka puki atua te maunga, ko rongoronga te awa, ko tiati awa te tangata whenua, ko Calvary te whānau, ko Wainuiomata Baptist Church te whare, ko Alice Williams, tuku whaia, ko Joanna, tuku wahini, ko Zara, ko Levi, tuku mukupuna, ko Mark Williams, tuku ingoa, ko Wainuiomata Ahau, Nō reira, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou katoa. Thank you. In tikanga Māori, place is important, is it not? Yeah. It's why when we introduce ourselves, we share the places that are important to us. The whenua, the land that you're part of, the place you belong to. And when you do that, others can go, oh, I know that place. Oh, I know that whānau, that iwi. I know that. And they make a connection with you. They make a connection with your ancestry, your whakapapa. This church has a history. You know, all the way back to, who can tell me when this church was built? 1958. We got some people who remember. Okay. You know what? I am so proud to be a part of this place. What's that? He wasn't even born. Neither was I. Neither was I. You know, my mum down here, Alice, give a wave, Alice. Yeah, that wonderful lady there. She knows a lot of the history of this place. She's probably the longest, oldest serving member in our fellowship now. Would that be true? Yeah, it is. Yeah. Okay. She knows the good and the bad that have gone in not just this place, but the church here in the valley. There have been some great things God has done in this valley. There's been some amazing things done here in Wainui at different times. But this raises a few questions. Now, these are rhetorical. Who doesn't know what rhetorical means? That's not rhetorical. Okay, so that means you don't have to call out an answer. So when we share our mihi mihi pipiha, we're proud of who we are and what has made us who we are today and everything that has gone on behind us and before us that has brought us to this place today. It was rhetorical, remember. Are you proud to say you come from Wainui Mata? Are you proud to say that you are a member of the Wainui Mata Baptist Church? Do you think, this is still rhetorical, do you think that Wainui Mata is worthy of an outpouring of the Holy Spirit? Do you think that Wainui Mata, the people here, are allowed to meet the God you know? What is your first reaction when someone asks you, are you a Christian? Rhetorical? Think about it. What's your first reaction? My first, and I'm being serious, if someone comes up to me and goes, oh, you're a Christian, eh? I'll go, that depends. And some of you are thinking, but you're a Christian, why would you say that? Well, how many definitions of Christian are there out there in the world today? And I don't know which one they're thinking about when they ask me the question. So I want to be sure that when I answer, I am giving them an answer that points to the Lord Jesus Christ and the creator of the heavens of the earth, and that is the God whom I work with and serve. You know, that's who it is. Nothing else, no one else. If your answer to any of those questions were like, oh, maybe, maybe not. No, or I'm nervous to answer that question, or fearful. We got to think about what's going on inside here, and why is that your solution or your answer to those questions? See, I believe that the answer to that problem is because maybe the church has missed the point. The church is not this building. It's the people in it. Have we missed the point? Why are people not in love with the God that we love? Have we forgotten the basics? Turn with me to Luke 10, 38 to 42. Luke 10, 38 to 42. It's on page 7. Oh no, that's my notes, sorry. On your phones or in your Word. And many of you will know the story of Mary and Martha. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that she had to make. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all this work myself?" You can imagine it, eh? "Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha." Who's heard that tone from God before? I have. "Mark, Mark. You are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Now, a lot of people think, "Oh, man, Mary, Martha needs Jesus." But hang on a minute. Both Mary and Martha love Jesus. Both of these sisters have been converted. They're followers of Christ. Both are loved by Jesus. It even says that Jesus loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Mary also loved her Lord and was loved by him. And she was serving him to the best of her ability, perfectly serving our Lord. As soon as Jesus came into the house, she knew the privilege of what was there before her. She wanted to listen to the one and only, listen one-on-one to the Son of God. She wanted to worship and adore him and keep in her heart everything that he was going to say. She was oblivious to Martha, oblivious to any other guests, just totally absorbed in Jesus. She was oblivious to all outward things going on. See, it says that Mary had chosen the good part. Different translations say she chose that which was an advantage to her. That was best, what is better. Discovered the one thing that was worth being concerned about. I don't think Mary had missed the point. Martha, and it's not on the other hand, because Martha is the head of her home. She's had Jesus in her home before. She may have noticed his weariness from travel, from ministry, from the demand of the people. And she wants to make sure that he is comfortable, rested, fed with good food. What a wonderful way to show her love for the Lord. She did everything perfectly. Again, to the best of her ability, she went about serving her Lord, just as Mary was doing. Her act of worship and adoration may be also oblivious to everything else that was going on as well, as she honoured the privilege of having the Son of God in her home. But maybe during this expression of love, some other thoughts came into Martha's mind and caused her to worry, caused her to be anxious and troubled about many things. Other translations say worried, upset about so many things, careful and troubled by many things, getting yourself all worked up over nothing, the Message says. You are worried and upset over all these details. Had Martha missed the point? Have we missed the point? Have I missed the point? Have you missed the point? Jesus said, "If you love me, you will obey my commandments. The world will know you are my disciples by how much you love one another." Jesus came to show us how to love God and how to love man. The point was, he came to show us what the point was. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. We must start there. Today, and those sitting at home, I'm going to ask you to be brave. And trust Jesus today. If you feel like you, during what comes next, if you feel like you've been put on the spot, I'm not going to apologize. I'm not sorry. But I will feel sorry if you don't respond, if you don't receive your miracle, your victory and your salvation because you weren't willing to respond to what God is saying in your heart. I will be sorry if that happens. Your victory, your salvation. So how did Jesus show us how to do that? Let's go back. So we're going to stay in the book of Luke, but we're going to zip back to the beginning. And Luke said that he investigated everything before he wrote it down because he wanted to make sure that what he was writing was true and accurate and for us today. Tina had the word this morning that God is no different than he was 2,000 years ago, 4,000 years before that, at the beginning of creation. He hasn't changed. Maybe we have. So, let's go. How did he show us how to do that? Well, starts with when Jesus was about to get baptized. John the Baptist is in the water. Then sorry, Nikki Lee, you threw me there. I thought you were walking in with Ashton then. Oh, my goodness. Okay, so John the Baptist is there, and he issues this warning. As crowds began to flock down because they knew he was there, and he wasn't sure about that Jesus was about to turn up and get baptized, but he says this, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with your repentance." This is part of the point. John 3:16. Who knows that one? But have everlasting life. I like the Amplified. Not because it's loud. For God so dearly prized and highly loved the entire world that he even gave up his one and only begotten Son, so that whomsoever should believe in him, trust in him, cling to him, adhere to him, will not perish or come to destruction, but have eternal, everlasting life. Yeah. We can say that prayer, but do we cling to? What does adhere mean? Who can tell me? Stuck! Are you stuck to him like glue? Because that's what the word believe means when you look at the expanded word inside the Amplified. What's the next verse say? Have you not heard that from memory verse?
Say it again.
Okay. Right, so we're going to carry on reading. We're going to go, we've just done verse 16, but we're going to go 17, 18, and 19. And we're going to group them all together because they're telling us what we need to do, telling us what the point is. For God did not send his Son in the world in order to judge, to reject, to condemn, to pass sentence on the world. It's the Amplified. But that the world might find salvation and be made safe and sound through him. Not through what we do, what he does. Verse 18. He who believes, who clings to, trusts in, and relies on him is not judged. He who trusts in him will never come up for judgment. For him, in him, there is no rejection, no condemnation. He incurs no damnation. Ooh. But he who does not believe, cleave to, rely on, and trust on him is judged already. This is not in the future, but now. He has already been convicted and has already received his sentence because he has not believed in and trusted in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He is condemned for refusing to let his trust rest in Christ's name. Verse 19. The basis of the judgment, the indictment, the test by which men are judged, the ground for the sentence lies in this. The light has come into the world, and people have loved the darkness rather than and more than the light, for their works and deeds were evil. Jesus came into the world to set us free from that. Do you know Jesus? This is where we got to start. Do you know Jesus? And I'm not talking about you said a prayer once and sat in church ever since, coming to church just when you're rostered on or coming to hang out with some people. Do you have a relationship with Jesus that is changing your life? And your life is producing fruit in keeping with repentance. Do you know my Jesus? I felt like putting that Claridge piece up where he's going, my God, have you met him? Have you seen him? Do you know him? But do you know, so the God, my Jesus, he prompts me when I need direction. He heals me when I'm sick. He tells me my heart is in the wrong place and points it out to me and makes me aware of it. He tells me when my attitude is wrong, not right. He points out when I'm not treating my wife correctly or other people correctly. He points it out in my spirit. Do you know my Jesus? Do you know personally my Jesus who reaches out and touches my heart when I'm feeling lost, feeling down, feeling alone? My Jesus who stops life going round and round and round and round in circles. And find myself behaving in the same way over and over and over and over again. Do you know my Jesus that speaks into my life and makes me change things that cause that to happen? Do you personally know my Jesus who forgives sin and reconnects you to the Creator God who made this world and everything in it? Are you part of everything? Sorry, are you part of everything? That's not rhetorical. Are you part of everything? Yes. Yes, you are. So you are part of what he created. He made this world and everything in it for himself. There are some today who maybe have no idea what having a personal relationship with God is about. You're heading further and further away from God and his righteousness, and you will miss out on all that God has for your life. Remember, because he made it. He knows where it's supposed to go. He knows where you're supposed to be, what you're supposed to do, how you're supposed to do it. You will miss out on the power to see your life being fulfilled, living it to the fullest. Instead of just going through the motions of living, living it to the fullest is his promise. Miss out on his forgiveness, his grace and his mercy filling every part of your being. Oh my goodness, that is such an amazing feeling, sensation, such an encouragement when you know that God is with you and working in you. If we don't have that, we end up in the eternal lake of fire, forever separated from Jesus. See, and you don't need me to look out at you and point my, I'm not going to point my finger. You don't need me to do that because God is already doing that. He's speaking into your heart right now. Are you game enough to change it today? Are you game enough to put it right now? When Jesus called his disciples, it was a right now moment. Come and follow me. Matthew left the tax collector booth in front of everybody and followed Jesus. He put aside what other people might think and walked into victory, walked into his new life. That deserves a hallelujah. Nah. It deserves a hallelujah. Hallelujah, hey, hallelujah. I mean, it's our moment as well, if you've had it. Will you, because this is your moment right now, if that's you, will you come down the front? If that's you, would you come down the front right now and commit your life to Christ? Royce and the elders are here. They'll lead you in a simple prayer. And we promise that you don't have to do this alone. We promise that we will walk with you and journey this new life. All right, let's go back to Luke. You still have opportunity. The day is young. Jesus was taken into the desert after he was baptized, where he was tempted. What is temptation? What is temptation? How do we get tempted? Opportunity to sin. Okay? If I don't drink alcohol, can I be tempted by alcohol? Can I? Even if I don't drink? Can be tempted to drink. Okay? I believe that temptation only comes to you in an area of your life where you have desire. Because if you don't desire it, how can it be a temptation? True. Someone who feels tempted to gamble will have to have desire to gamble. That desire needs to be there. Someone who is stuck or being tempted into pornography, that desire is there for Satan to come along and tempt you to go that way. Someone who feels tempted to drink must have the desire for drink. Otherwise, someone who doesn't drink, someone putting a beer there, walk away. Absolutely no temptation because the desire is not there in my heart. Someone who feels tempted to smoke has to have the desire to want to smoke. Does that make sense? Now, smoking doesn't send you to hell. It just makes you smell like you've been there. Okay? It's an oldie but a goldie. You can use that. Like some of our desires are personal and private to us. No one else knows. Some of our desires that we're tempted in are our secret. You know what? The Bible says, confess your sins to one another and you shall be saved. Remember I said to be brave? Who's got an addiction that they like broken? If that's you, stand up. Or come down the front. It's your day. There are people here who will pray quietly with you. You don't have to share it to the whole lot. Who's got an addiction? Well, maybe we go this way. Put your hand up if you've got an addiction that needs breaking. Yeah? Okay? Yeah? Yep. Yeah. Awesome. Well, it's not awesome that you have an addiction. Now, you don't have to share what your addiction is. But if you saw someone with their hand up, why don't you gather around them right now and start praying that that addiction be broken off their life. There's one over here, and there's two down there. Church, this is the point. We are made to pray and build up and break these things off each with the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not us, it's all God. Yeah, right now, let's gather around those that put your hand up again if you've got an addiction that you're struggling with. Yep, there you go. There's people with their hands up. Get around them and pray right now. Those of you that have a bottle of anointing oil on you, why don't you go around and anoint those that had their hand up? If you're struggling to believe that that's you and you're not struggling, but yet you have something you keep going back to, you need to put your hand up and allow people to come around and pray that you will be set free. Awesome. You guys just carry on, and so will I. Jesus healed the sick. Peter's mother-in-law. Everyone with various kinds of sickness, in Luke 4. Cleansed the leper, healed the paralytic, in Luke 5. Man with a withered hand, crowds coming from everywhere were healed and set free in Luke 6. Raised the dead in Luke 7. Maybe some of us are a bit dead spiritually and you need a lift. You need that lifted off you. A woman of cured of evil spirits and diseases. He heals a man with a demon, heals a woman and heals Jairus' daughter, all in Luke 8. Heals a boy with an unclean spirit in Luke 9. Hands up, are you sick today? Are you sick today? I'm going to ask if you're feeling sick today, etu, stand up where you are. Can we get people coming around, these guys, and praying for them? just asking what's wrong and praying into that with them. So keep your hand up if you're sick. If you're not well, make sure you're getting up. Come on, church, this is the point. The church being the church. If you're not sure what to say, speak, pray in the Spirit. This is the point of the church being the church. Have we missed anybody? Is there anyone else who's feeling sick, that's not well, that needs prayer? Put your hand up and someone's going to come to you. Awesome. Awesome. The joy of the Lord is your strength. This is the church being the church. This is the point. Awesome. Father, I just pray for an outpouring of your Spirit upon all, Lord God, that you would bring the joy and freshness into their life and their spirit, Lord God, in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Awesome. There's still a couple of groups going, but we're going to continue. So we're still in Luke. We're heading back a bit more back to Luke 7. And there's a story of the centurion. Jesus didn't need to be physically present with his sick servant. His faith that Jesus could heal was enough. The centurion said, I need you to come with me. But he said, by your faith you are healed. You don't need me to come. Because he believed that Jesus had the power through the Holy Spirit to bring healing. Do you know someone that's sick? That's not here today. A family member or a friend. Are you willing to stand for that person right now? Etu. Stand for that person you know is sick, and someone's going to come around and you're going to be prayed for and for that person to bring healing. If you know someone is sick, are you telling me that none of you know anyone that's sick? Because I know that we live in a community full of people who are sick. Gather around each other and pray. This is the point, church. Ministering to each other. If someone's standing and there's no one around them, can you someone go and step out, be brave, and pray with them? Awesome. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Do you know how encouraging this is, church? This is so encouraging to see the body of Christ getting the point. Being the body of Christ. Awesome. Hey, we're nearly there. We're nearly there. Hey, our God is the same as what we've read in Luke. All of those things can happen today. Do you believe?
Yes.
Do you believe?
Yes.
Yes. Right, we go from Luke 7 to Luke 9. In Luke 9, Jesus blesses the little that was available, and he met the immediate needs of 5,000 people. Who has a need that needs to be met? Who's got a need that needs to be met? Hands up. Nobody's got a need. We've got one down there. Who's not got a need? Oh, God is amazing, isn't he? He's met all of our needs.
Well, come on, I actually want to say that because I did have a need this week. My daughter and grandchildren arrived from Australia next Saturday. And three big beds to, strip and wash and do all the things that you have to do. And an old friend of mine, turned up unexpectedly on Thursday and stayed for the weekend and helped me.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Are there any other testimonies of God meeting your needs this week?
Stuart Forrest has been in my garden for 3 days making it nice and tidy. Love it.
Awesome.
Bless him, Lord.
Awesome. Hey, do you know what? That's Jesus with skin on.
Yes.
We are meant to help meet the needs of our brothers and sisters so that the world may know that you love one another. How awesome is that? Can we get someone just together around Marty? He's got a need that needs to be met. Can we get a couple of people together around him and pray into his need? Anybody else got something? You've been struggling, something's not quite, connections aren't quite been making. I've just had the privilege of praying for a visitor today who's just arrived in New Zealand and needs a job, and he's reached out to Jesus to open doors and make connections and make something happen there. Now, I think of Joe this week. It's 2.5 years we've been battling. But this week, when we're talking about the church being the church, God comes through with the number 7. Thank you, Trish, for your word about the number 7, being completeness and wholeness. And we see that as being that my wife, when we get her down from number 7 down and get her in there, she's going to be complete and made whole. This has been such a burden for us as a family, more for her than for me. But God meets our needs at the point of need, just like he did with the 5,000 people. This is the point. Are you getting it?
Yes.
Yes, are we getting it?
Yes.
This is not just a Sunday thing. I'll add that. This is an everyday thing. You are the church. You have been saved for a purpose and for a reason. And it's to make Christ known. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hey, the church being the church. We're going to also, I hope, share together around Ashton this week. She stopped breathing again this week. It's ongoing for this family. They're not there yet. Hey, I want to tell you that if you're in a tunnel and you can't see light at the end, don't get off the train, for goodness sake. Don't get off the train. Because if you jump off the train, you remain in the tunnel. If you stay on the train and invite God to be part of the journey, you will see the light at the other end. And what does a train always do at the other end of the tunnel? It comes out into the light. And your victory, your healing, your miracle. Now, I don't know what that looks like. And that might not be a miracle in the way you expected. Be open to see what God has done around you and in you and around others and in others that you are connected with in that tunnel that you're in. But I tell you what, a train's got room for more than just you, hasn't it? You know why? Because you're not meant to be there by yourself. The point is, we are there and we love each other. Okay. Straight after, Jesus showed and modeled how we are to love God and love others all through Luke chapters 3 through to where we are now in Luke 10. He sent 12 out. He called the disciples together. He gave them the power and the authority to drive out all demons and cure diseases. And he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. This is the point. In Luke 10, he sends out the 72. Heal the sick and all who are there and tell them the kingdom of God is near you. This is the point. This is why you were saved. This is why you have Jesus. This is why you were healed. This is why you were forgiven, set free. This is why you've had provision. See, Jesus did all of these things from Luke 3 through to Luke 10. And then tells us of Martha and Mary. Why is that? Well, Martha had lost the point. Because look, God knows that you will have these moments in your life. And he actually just wanted to remind all of us what the point is. And you've seen the point in action this morning. Have you lost your first love? Last one. Have you lost your first love? You know how you felt when Jesus, and this is coming back to our word this morning from Sharon. You know, have you lost that first love? Can you remember what it was like when you first met Jesus? Oh my goodness. Even I've can say that my first love and me now are two slightly different people. I used to get on people's nerves when I first met the Lord because I was noisy and I was loud and, oh, hang on, maybe I haven't changed. Oh. Do you feel like you're alone sometimes in this walk with Christ? Do you feel like some of life's struggles have gotten on top and you've gotten back to relying on yourself? Have you become unsure and actually have doubts in God and doubts about your faith? Do you struggle to see light at the end of the tunnel that you feel we're in? Would you like a fresh touch from Jesus today? Would you like a fresh touch from Jesus and allow him and us to journey with you afresh from today? Let's be brave. Is that you? Stand up. Put your hand up. If you don't want to stand up, put your hand up if that's you. Can we gather around? Gather around these people. Church, gather around. Don't just sit there. Gather around these people and pray for them. And look, what I want you to do, pray that God would give them a fresh touch, that they would have a new sense of his closeness to them. Gather around. Make sure you put your hand up if that's you. You're feeling just a little bit distant from God. You're not seeing light at the end of the tunnel. There we go. That's it. Gather around. You're a little bit unsure of your faith and you have doubts about what God can do. If you're not next to somebody that's put their hand up, raise your hand towards them and pray for them where you are. Pray for them where you are. That God will break through a fresh sense of his presence, a newness in their relationship with God. Awesome. Thank you, Lord. Amazing God. Amazing God. This is the point, church. Praise you, Jesus. Glory to you in the Most High. We give you praise and glory in the Most High. Awesome. Awesome. Awesome God. Okay. Here's what our last one is that we're all going to get involved in. So I want everybody getting into groups. I want you to think about some of the things that would bless your life. Who can tell me something that would bless your life right now? Who can tell me one thing? Well, I could say that maybe I need my car fixed. That would bless me right now. I could pray for good health for you. I could pray that your financial needs be met. What are some things we can pray to bless other people with? Think of what you would be blessed with if it happened to you right now. Join in groups and start praying blessing with everyone. Everyone should now be getting together with others. Make sure no one's alone and start praying blessing into their lives. Blessing that God would bless them with good health, financial prosperity, mental health, physical health, spiritual health, that they would be blessed, that they would have friends who encourage them and build them up, who come and visit them in Jesus' name. Pray these good things into the lives of others. Awesome. Awesome. Thank you, Lord. Awesome God. I'm not rushing you. I'm not telling you to hurry up and finish. You carry on going. But I do want to make you aware that down the front on this table here, just like the centurion who didn't need Jesus' presence, we've got some cloths down here that have been anointed with oil, and they've been prayed over by the elders, and they are here for you to take. Okay, so I'm going to come round. Well, I might not come round. I might just leave them there and you can get them. Okay, so the purpose of this cloth is because in John, we hear about as Paul was going around ministering to others and healing others, they would take his handkerchiefs and his aprons and they would go and give them to people who were sick in the hope that they would be healed. And they saw miracles. So if there's not enough here for everybody, I've got more. We'll just need to get the elders to pray over it. But hey, look, this is not magic, okay? This is you stepping out in faith, believing that when you give this to a sick person and you pray for them, that they are going to experience the healing of the Most High God. That's what this is. Something natural that we can do that will have a supernatural effect, not because of me, not because of the elders who prayed it or the oil we put on it, but because our God is a healing God, we know it and we believe it, and we want to be the church and see what make the point known that our God is the same today as he was 2,000 years ago before that, and he's not going to change. We need to change, and we need to get the point and start being the church. So I'm going to leave these all up here. If someone needs to, and they're here to take, you can come and get them during the worship. You can come and get them after the worship. Worship team, can we have you up, please? You could, while everyone's enjoying a coffee after the service, come and take one. Think about who you can take it to that you may see a miracle. They're all up here on this table. Maybe you're not sure who you are in Christ. Maybe you're not sure about that you can do this. Well, let me tell you, the Bible has over 100 things that says you are in Christ. You have been adopted into his family. Out on the table outside, if you're not sure what the Bible says you are, because you have doubts about who you are, maybe life's experiences have made it hard for you, I want you to grab one of the pieces of paper out there on the table. I've got one here. Who I am in Christ. These are all out on the table in the foyer. And there's two pages of what the Bible says you are in Christ. Not what I say, not what I think, but what God thinks you are. If you're unsure, take one home with you. Stand in front of the mirror and go, I am a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away. I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. I am blessed by God in all things. I am elect. I am chosen of God. I am made high by the blood of Christ. I am victorious. I am set free. I am firmly rooted, built up, established in my faith with thanksgiving. Is this you? Are you sure of it? If not, make sure you take one of these home. He hōnere, he karore ki te atua, he mangarongo ki te whenua, he whakaro pai ki ngā tangata katoa, hangi e te atua, he nā kauhau, ki roto, ki tīna o mātou. Whakatoinga tō wairua tapu, hei a whina, hei tohu tohu, hei a mātou, hei oku hoki, hoki i ngā kupu, i roto e tino mahi. Ake, ake, ake. Amen.